The following content is intended for people who are blind or print impaired.
Engage.
You are listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm Chris Skidmore, and this is Tech Tips. Happy New Year and welcome to 2023. To start this new year off, we are going to be talking with Dana Dre of the Metrolina Association for the Blind about their services and what they have to offer people who are blind or have low vision. Our conversation is this month's episode of Tech Tips. The Metrolina Association for the Blind is a sort of one-stop shop for people who are blind or have low vision. Metrolina offers a wide range of services that include creating accessible documents and vision rehabilitation. With us today is Dana Dre, and she is going to be talking with us about all the cool things that Metrolina has to offer. Hi, Dana.
Hey there. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I hope you are.
Yeah, definitely. Glad to be here.
Well, thanks for your time. I really do appreciate it. Before we get started with the talking about Metrolina Association for the Blind, would you please tell us a little bit about yourself and, you know, who is Dana Dre?
Well, Dana Dre is a third generation veteran.
Awesome.
Meaning that my grandmother was a Marine in World War II. Both my grandfathers were also in World War II. My father was in Vietnam, and I was in Desert Storm. So I'm a veteran hailing from Florida who has been working in the space of serving individuals with disabilities for about 17 years now. I entered in using the technological platforms. I was an assistive technology consultant after being a network engineer for many years. And then transitioned around to a rehabilitation counselor, working with veterans with vision loss, and now chief program officer here at Metrolina Association for the Blind.
Awesome. Well, first of all, thank you for your service. Much appreciated. Let's kind of start diving into Metrolina Association for the Blind. Who are they and what do they do?
Probably one of the longest standing nonprofits in the area. We do a host of things, so we kind of have two different veins of our organization. We have our accessible document services, and what we do there is we produce documents in accessible format for people across the nation, whether it be Braille statements, maybe utility statements, bank statements, and such. And then in our vision rehabilitation side of things, we work in addressing the needs of people with vision loss across our area. And that can be a low vision exam, it can be orientation and mobility, it can be assistive technology, daily living skills. We even have a transportation department. So we're doing a lot of things here to both educate the community, but also serve the needs of the almost 16,000 people in Mecklenburg County alone. That's not even counting the surrounding areas that have vision loss.
That is incredible. Y'all do a lot.
Yes, we do. I'm tired just talking about it.
Well, I tell you, I've been looking at the website, and I see that Metrolina has all sorts of services, and you've kind of touched on them a little bit. And, working with people who are new to vision loss or maybe having trouble adapting to changes with an existing vision condition. First of all, I kind of want to talk about the vision rehabilitation services. And you touched on it briefly, and now we can get into a little bit more detail. What is it and what types of services do you offer?
So one of the things that's unique about us is that we are offering services through the entirety of the vision loss spectrum. So if you go to the doctor, an optometrist or an ophthalmologist, and they determine that there's just not either any more treatment or there are just no glasses, then they'll likely, if everything goes well, refer you to us so we can receive individuals who have much better vision in the scheme of things. They can still drive. They can still get around in the community. They may just need a magnifier or some other devices to help them in a pinch, or, you know, all the way down across that complete spectrum of vision loss to somebody that's completely blind. So we do that through our core programs. And that's, we have a low vision doctor, and by the way, a bilingual low vision doctor, so she speaks Spanish and English.
Okay.
And if you have remaining vision, then she's going to determine where you can best see with that remaining vision, and then maybe refer you to our low vision therapist, recommend some devices, get those devices, you know, and we like to be supportive if people can't afford them. We try to identify ways because assistive technology can be very expensive.
Just a little.
Yeah. How can the individuals make sure that we get them what they need? We have a donor program. People donate CCTVs, then we provide them back at a very reduced cost across a sliding scale. So, you know, the doctor refers to the low vision therapist, and then, you know, from there, we kind of determine if there's any additional needs. But we also have clinical care coordinators and case managers. So the clinical care coordinators are taking care of those individuals that have better vision. What we decided is it's best to have those divided positions so that we can meet the needs of the clients, because there's just a host of different needs depending upon the severity of vision loss. If you can still drive, likely you just need touch points within the organization, and then access to those devices that we talked about. The case managers are helping bring in and then determining what additional services in blind rehabilitation, or now we're calling it our empowerment services. That can be orientation and mobility. So think long cane. How do you get around in the environment? How do you get to where you're going? How do you get to your mailbox? And then even route training. So if you need to get to work, if you need to get to school, those are the kind of services that we provide. Assistive technology, right? That's a mm-hmm. thing. And there's iPhones now that come right out of the box. They're accessible, but there's a lot of things to be considered in making sure that people can access and meet their daily goals with the technology. So we train on a variety of items. We have wearable technologies now that we have about 5 devices that people can try out. And then independent living. How do you organize your closet? How do you cook with vision loss? Those are the kind of services that we're providing. And transportation. We are able to provide transportation pre-pandemic to outings, think grocery stores and special events and things like that. Post-pandemic, we're getting back there, but we've been able to provide transportation to medical appointments and some special events.
Okay. And, you know, since you talked about transportation real quick, how does that work?
Within the Charlotte community, there is special transportation, adaptive transportation available through the city and the county, but there's a lot of things that come along with that, to include riding for hours sometimes, mm-hmm. You know, anticipating appointments 3 days in advance. Ours is kind of a supplement when you become a client of ours. We have a transportation supervisor who, through the case managers, connect to the clients and schedule them in. Those rides are scheduled up to 3 months in advance, and then we transport, of course, primarily our primary location is to our own facility to make sure people are getting the services they need. And then we open it up from there to include and make sure that other medical appointments are accessible for individuals. And like I said, eventually we're going to open back up to those special events and trips out in the community for shopping, et cetera.
Yeah, it sounds really good. Well-rounded. I do want to circle back real quick to the assistive technology, because you mentioned wearables. What are what are the wearables that you guys are working with?
Idaptic wearable. We have the eSight wearable, and then we have an OrCam right now.
And I assume that when someone gets a piece of assistive technology, there's also training included with that?
Absolutely. And, you know, you think about it, there's so much technology out there, both conventional now that Android are making some more leaps with their talkback features, the voiceover that's available with the iPhone, you have your Zoom text, you have your Fusion, you have your Jaws, you have your Magic, you have all of those things. And, you know, if we don't necessarily get to someone to do the assessment and make the recommendation, sometimes people go out on their own. They discover this, they think it's going to work for them, and then they pay a lot of money for something that may not be the particular item that meets their needs the best. But since they have it, we like to try to train them the best capability we can. So I say all that to say there's a lane where a lot of those products are, and we are kind of focused in, but there's also some outliers that make training more difficult, because as a trainer, can't be well-versed in everything. There's a lot to know about assistive technology, particularly screen readers. You can't pop down and train on JAWS without knowing a little bit about it and or staying on top of it every day.
Oh, yeah.
And we happen to have people, that are users. That's where we have the best advantage, because the people that are training others are the people using it every day.
We are talking with Dana Dre of Metrolina Association for the Blind, and you're listening to Tech Tips. And Dana, even though Metrolina is a Charlotte-based organization, how many of your services can be used by somebody outside of the Charlotte area?
For our low vision doctor and our low vision services, so we have a clinic. Our providers are a combination of in-clinic, at home, hybrid, out in the community. We do home visits depending upon the situation. So it really depends on the need, but if it is a low vision exam and or low vision therapy, if you can get to our organization here in Charlotte, then we can serve you from anywhere. We have served individuals across the country, actually, because our low vision doctor is so well renowned that people will travel to see her. Now, some of our more focused programming, you know, it's more difficult to serve individuals farther away, but we are looking every day how to deliver those services better, how to supplement what other organizations like the state and the federal government are doing in the community, and partner to make sure that everyone is getting the resources that they need. So we've done some partnerships. We have an orientation and mobility specialist that works in some of the schools across the state. We have done some partnerships with the VA in the Fayetteville area. We have provided services to the state in some other areas too. But, you know, we're a lean organization, lean but mighty. And we just unfortunately can't dig in other areas, but we do open our doors for somebody that wants to come here to Charlotte. And if that's the case, then you can just reach out to us, or me in particular, and we can figure out how to get you plugged into that. We have a self-referral form on our website where people can fill that out, and then, you know, you'll be contacted to kind of see what services can be provided regarding your location and other needs.
Awesome. Well-rounded. I love it.
Yeah, we try. I mean, there's, you know, I think it really does take all the organizations working together. We actually, one of the neat things that we've done, and we'd love to invite anybody that wants to come on board, is we created a consortium. Who are the individuals in our community that work with people with vision loss? And we're next year going to bring them together four times. and just work on sharing best practices and sharing resources and how can we be better, how can we elevate each other so that we can meet the needs of our community.
That's awesome. We've talked about the Vision Rehab services, and let's kind of move a little bit and talk about another type of service that y'all offer called Accessible Document Services. If you would, tell us a little bit about that, please.
Sure. I want to preface this by saying, Chief Program Officer, I oversee the Vision Rehabilitation Services. We have my counterpart who is over the Accessible Document Services, Barbara Bryant. I will try to do my best, but I'm sure Barbara will let me know if I misstep. But
it's all
our
good.
Accessible Document Services are really, it was a creation of one of our former president and CEOs who had the idea of creating these documents for businesses that wanted to provide accessible options for their customers. So think about utility bills, think about textbooks, think about bank statements. How do you as a corporation provide these things to your clients across the nation? We actually provide that service to big businesses and they and we mail statements of all sorts across the nation to people who are blind. So we do it in Braille. We have three very large embossers upstairs that are printing Braille pretty much 24/7. Then we have a team of about 25 individuals that take documents, reformat them so that they can be produced in an accessible way and reformat the information so that someone with vision loss can understand it. Because a lot of the times you're getting statements, if you're a visual reader, they've got all kinds of charts and the blocks. And when you're reading that with a screen reader or even a magnifier, it can get very confusing. So they kind of break it down, produce it in large print if needed, Braille, or even we produce audio CDs of information if that's the preferred method. And that is kind of what funds our organization for the most part. We have other resources, but traditionally the Accessible Document Services has been so successful that it has been able to provide support for the Vision Rehabilitation Services. So we're providing two not completely different services, but different services. One's more national and the other is more local.
Okay. So in addition to, because you mentioned the audio CD, do you also do, say, MP3 and either email it to somebody or use some kind of cloud-based service to get it to them?
We do not. So the email, so everything that we do has to be very secure, as you can imagine.
Yes,
the security
yes.
in our building is off the chart. So I don't believe that we have the capacity to do a secure email like that, nor is it something that's standard. But MP3 is, that's a possibility. But again, that extra layer of sending it electronically makes it more vulnerable in the scheme of the traditional security measures. We have a team of individuals looking at all of what we're doing in accessible documents and trying to determine what are those next steps to stay on the cutting edge of what is needed, because we all know that technology is changing the way that everything is delivered and eventually it will be the documents as well. So we have a strategic team in place looking is, you know, PDF documents or accessible websites or whatever the next steps might be for the organization. But we're also growing in advancement. And, you know, since I've been on board, we've had a lot of growth in our grant department, working in partnerships across the community. So again, you know, that idea of working together and elevating everything.
Makes perfect sense. And you did touch on this, but I'm just going to kind of repeat it just to make sure that somebody listening hears it, that especially with the accessible document services, you don't have to live in the Charlotte-Mecklenburg area to take advantage of them, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Yes.
Awesome.
If there's any questions, then, you know, you can absolutely reach out and let us know.
We're talking with Dana Dre of the Metrolina Association for the Blind, and you're listening to Tech Tips on North Carolina Reading Service. And you know, we've talked about all the services and stuff. So who is eligible for the services?
So we typically receiving referrals of individuals with vision loss at 20/50. You know, if the eye doctor or worse, best corrected vision, if the eye doctor determines that there's a special consideration, really our intake team is reviewing that. But if you are someone that has been to your doctor and they're saying that there's not the ability to correct your vision, then it behooves you to just check us out and see if you can make a self-referral if the doctor isn't doing it. Sometimes it's an afterthought for doctors. And then we can, you know, kind of assess you, where are you within that spectrum of vision loss, and kind of provide those services accordingly. So we're really getting people as they're just losing their vision so we can help guide them if they have a progressive vision. A lot of these vision loss, you know, these diagnoses and diseases are progressive. And so getting people sooner and letting them know what the resources are, the devices, where to come back when needed, then we can really provide that support, and people aren't as confused and or scared when they're losing their vision.
I hate to say it this way. Can somebody come in off the street and start applying for the services?
You can self-refer, but what we do require, because it's very important, is that you have an eye exam within the last year, because vision loss can change so rapidly. If we're treating you from an eye exam 4 years ago, your vision could be so different that we're doing a disservice to you. So we require that you have an eye exam in the last year. And if you would like to explore services with us, like I said, there's a self-referral on the website. You do not have to have a doctor's referral to come to us. You can self-refer. Having those other medical records is helpful. We rarely make an exception, but I would say that if there's a question, you could reach out to me and I would be happy to entertain it.
Okay, awesome. And you actually answered a couple of my questions right there in that answer. So, you know, with what kind of documentation you needed and you know, self-referral versus having a doctor's referral. So, awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, obviously, I understand that there are fees and stuff involved with certain services that y'all provide. What could you give us an example of some of the fees maybe and what someone could expect to pay for services?
Absolutely. And I'm glad you asked this question, because there's a lot of complexity around services for vision loss within the state, you know, as far as Medicaid and Medicare. Mm-hmm. And so we've had to shape our services around that. And that's part of the reason that we're looking at really redefining our lanes of business so that we can accommodate that. Right now, where you would expect to pay for services would be because the doctor can be billable for insurance. So if you have insurance, then we would look to see if we could provide that with the copay. If not, then there's a self-pay rate that we have designed. And again, you know, we have a hardship application for those that may qualify, so that it's around the same amount as a copay would be. So we've designed that in the low vision sense to be able to provide some consistency across the board with that billing. When it comes to the other services like orientation or mobility, assistive technology, and things like that, those are not billable at all. So those are services you do not pay for within the organization. Okay. So, you know, that's been something that's kind of waxed and waned over the years. It's really challenging for an organization to balance out being able to sustain through revenue, income and such, and then also understand that there are people in the community that don't necessarily have the money and or understand what these services can do for them. So we're trying to balance that out in a way that can accommodate everyone.
If someone would like to know more about Metrolina Association for the Blind and your services, what is the best way for them to do that and learn more?
Well, right now we are, in the process of revamping our website, but our website is the best platform to access that information, and that is www.metrolinaassociationfortheblind.org. So mabnc.org, I'm sorry, is the website address.
That's okay. That's okay. mabnc.org is the website.
That's it. Yes.
Okay.
Or you can Google Metrolina Association for the Blind. And then, that's providing just the overlay of what we do. We have changed a lot of that, and we're in the process of making sure our website is accessible before we launch it. But that's where I'd have individuals go. I'm available for questions if somebody wants to reach out to me. My email is DDRAA@mabnc.org. So available for questions, and I will respond to your inquiries. It may take a bit, but I do like to make sure that if people have questions that we're getting those answered.
Awesome. Thank you very much. And is there anything else that you'd like to go over that I maybe missed?
Well, one of the things that we have just added as far as a program for our organization in partnership with Industries for the Blind out of Winston-Salem mm-hmm. is we are now coordinating what's called the C program, which is the Student Enrichment Experience Program. And it's an after-school program for children with vision loss that is kind of teaching them an extension of what they learn in school, but soft skills and some of the skills that you need to have that we're training adults in over time. So how to cook, but also not only how to cook, because 40% of individuals with vision loss have diabetes. How do you cook healthily? What is healthy food, right?
I've been trying to figure that out since I think I was 10.
I call it the 80-20 rule. 80% of the time I'm doing well. 20, I got an M&M in my hand about to eat it. Yeah. So.
Exactly.
Awesome. Yeah, so the C program is something that we do, and we're constantly trying to improve our programs and make sure they're meeting the needs of our community.
Okay, awesome. Well, that sounds great. I hope that works out very well for you and in turn helps a lot of people.
That's what we're wanting. We right now in Mecklenburg County, like I said, that 16,000 number, we only serve 10% of those individuals. So we need to get better. And that's what we're working on every day.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, again, I am going to thank you for your time. I do appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for learning more about our organization and for all that you do to expose information across our state.
And you are very welcome. We've been talking with Dana Dre of the Metrolina Association for the Blind. And again, if you'd like to know more about the organization, you can go to their website at mabnc.org. We've run out of time for this month's episode of Tech Tips. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Chris Skidmore, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Tech Tips is available online at ncreadingservice.org. If you have any questions or comments, give us a call at 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service.